The guy headed for the de-icer's cab, and Plato turned back to Reacher and asked, "Where's the key for the stairhead door?" Reacher took it out of his pocket and held it up. Plato stepped through his human cordon. Reacher rehearsed two possible moves. Drive the key through Plato's eye, or drop it on the ground and drive a massive uppercut through Plato's chin and snap his puny neck. He did neither thing. Plato had 5 MP5Ks right behind him. Within a split second, 75 9mm rounds would be in the air. Most of them would miss, but not all of them. The de-icer truck crunched into gear and moved away. Plato stepped up next to Reacher. The top of his head was exactly level with Reacher's breastbone. His chin was exactly level with Reacher's waistband. A tiny man. A miniature, tough guy. A toy. Reacher reassessed the uppercut. Bad idea. Almost impossible to launch a blow from so low down. Better to drive an elbow vertically through the crown of his skull. Or shoot him. Plato took the key. He said,
"Now, take your coat off."
Reacher said, "What?"
"Take your coat off."
"Why? Are you arguing with me?" 6 hands on 6 submachine guns. Reacher said, "I'm asking you a question." Plato said,
"You and I are going underground."
"Why me?"
"Because you've been down there before. None of us have. You're our local guide."
"I can go down there with my coat on."
"True. But you're in civilian clothing. Therefore, no gun belt.
The weather is cold and your coat is closed at the front. Therefore, your guns are in your outer pockets."
"I'm a smart guy. Therefore, I don't wish to enter an unfamiliar environment with an armed adversary."
"Am I your adversary?"
"I'm a smart guy," Plato said again. "The safe assumption is that everyone is my adversary."
Reacher said, "It's cold."
Plato said, "Your daughter's grave will be colder."
6 hands on 6 submachine guns. Reacher unzipped his coat. He shrugged it off and dropped it. It hit the ground with a padded clank. The Glocks, the Smiths, the box of rounds, the cell phone, plastic and metal and cardboard. 30 degrees below zero. Windy. A cotton sweater. Within seconds, he was shivering worse than any of them. Plato stood still. Not long, Reacher thought, before the de-icer truck got back and the driver described the smashed-up Ford. Therefore, not long before someone looked down the row and found the damaged hut. Not long before someone searched the other huts. Not long before someone started asking awkward questions. Time to get going.
"Let's do it," he said.
4:27 in the morning. 22 minutes to go. Chapter 44. They walked over to the stone building. 7 men, single file. A strange little procession. Plato first, 4'11", then Reacher, 6'5", then Plato's 5 guys, all of them halfway between the 2 extremes. Plato's 6th guy was still safely away in the de-icer truck, looting Holland's dead car. The stone building was standing there waiting for them, quiet and indifferent in the moonlit gloom, the same way it had stood for 50 long years. The stone, the slate, the blind windows, the chimneys, the moldings, and the curlicues, and the details. The portico, and the steel slab door. Plato put the key in the lock, turned it. The lock sprang back. Then he stood still and waited. Reacher took the hint. He turned the handle down 60 degrees, precise and physical, like a bank vault. He pulled the door through a short arc. The hinges squealed. He stepped in behind it and pushed it all the way open, like pushing a truck. Plato stood still and raised his hand, palm up. The man behind him stepped up and dug down in his backpack and came out with a flashlight. He slapped it into Plato's palm, the way an OR nurse feeds tools to a surgeon. Plato clicked it on and transferred it to his other hand and snapped his fingers and pointed at Reacher. The guy behind him swung his own backpack off his shoulder and took out his flashlight and handed it over. It was a four-cell maglite from Ontario, California, the de facto gold standard for man-portable illumination. Alloy construction, reliable and practically indestructible. Reacher clicked it on. He played the beam around the bare concrete chamber. No change. The place was exactly as he and two dead men had left it more than 4.5 hours earlier. The circular stairhead, the two unfinished ventilation pipes jutting up through the floor, the stale, dry air, the stirring breeze, the smell of old fears, long forgotten. "After you, Mr. Holland," Plato said, which disappointed Reacher a little. He had lost his coat, but he still had his boots. He had entertained the idea of letting Plato go first and then kicking his head off about 100 feet down. But obviously so had Plato, a smart guy. So Reacher went first, as awkward as before. Big boot heels, small steps, clanging metal. The sound of the whining jets faded as he went down, and he heard Plato issuing a stream of instructions in Spanish. "Wait until the de-icer gets back, then set up the equipment, then start the refueling. Get the other 3 doors open on the plane and get the other 3 ladders in position. Figure out how the de-icer works and figure out how close to takeoff we need to use it. And put a man on lookout 100 feet south. That's the only direction we have to worry about. Rotate every 20 minutes. Or more often if you want. Your call. I want a lookout alert at all times, not frozen to death." Then Plato stopped talking, and Reacher heard his feet on the stairs above him. Smaller steps, more precise. The metal still clanged, but quieter. The 2 flashlight beams went down and around, down and around, always clockwise, separated vertically by 20 feet, and not synchronized. Reacher took it slow. He was Holland now, in more than name. He was improvising, and hoping his moment would come. On the surface, the de-icer truck got back with the necessary equipment all piled on and around the passenger seat. The engine hoist, the rope, the garbage bags. The hoist was a sturdy metal thing, with 3 legs and a boom arm like the jib of a small crane. It was designed to be set up at the front of a car, with the jib leaning in over the engine compartment. The pulleys would produce multiplication of effort, according to ancient mechanical principles, allowing a lone operator to lift a heavy iron block. 3 of Plato's guys carried the hoist into the bunker and set it up with the jib leaning in over one of the ventilation shafts, like fishing from a barrel. They started threading the rope through the pulleys. No free lunge. More weight meant less speed. Pull the rope 1 yard, and with 1 pulley in play, a lightweight would move the same yard. But with 2 pulleys in play, a heavier weight would move just 18 inches, and with 3 pulleys in play, a heavier weight still would move just 12 inches, and so on. A trade-off. They chose to thread 2 pulleys, a balance of speed and capacity. The guy who had driven the truck said nothing about the Ford.